This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Off the Record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by Burger King, the Progressive Liberal Party, Royal Fidelity Bank and Trust, Royal Star Assurance, and the Free National Movement.
Welcome and gentlemen to Sli Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, the last day before the general election of 2021. Yeah, ready? You ain't gonna never be ready because it's on its way. If you want to give us a call today, let me give you some numbers that you can reach us at. You can call on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us also on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas Channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. And I have to tell you, I feel a little better today because I was under some duress with her yesterday. But I didn't think I needed to share that with you. But it was a burden on my soul the entire show. But she's doing much better today. And so I have no doubt she's listening. Hello, mommy. And you can catch us also on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. Last election, I voted in Marco City. I was living at the time in Mayfield Park. So I had to vote in Marco City there at Sunland Church. I mean, Sunland School. School there. And so, now I'm voting in Fort Charlotte again. I voted in Fort Charlotte before. Every time I ran in the election, which was four times, every time, I lived in the constituency in which I ran. So when I hear some people say, you know, members of parliament or candidates live in their constituencies, well, I did, in fact, live in mine every single time that I voted. And so I had to transfer my vote. I have my purple card with my transfer date, the date on which I transferred my vote. I got my stamp. So I have my property of government of the Bahamas voter's card. My voter's number on it, and my polling division where I'm supposed to go and vote, the constituency where I'm supposed to vote, the signature of the revising officer, not the presiding or the returning, but the revising officer is on my voter's card. The safest way to vote is with your voter's card, because it would have all the information relevant to where you should vote if it's correct. Mistakes can be made if it's correct. But if you don't have your voter's card and you registered in the last election and didn't have to transfer, you don't need your voter's card. You can vote with your passport. Yeah, I don't know if it's your national insurance card and them count now, because I don't want to get too into that. But you need, if you have appropriate ID, you can vote without your voter's. You will need to know though where you are supposed to go, what polling division in the constituency you are supposed to vote in. And that will be your privilege tomorrow, as it will be mine tomorrow. Some might say it's your duty tomorrow to go and cast your vote. And so it will, I'm looking for a number of things tomorrow. I'm looking for voter turnout. I'd like to see and know what that voter turnout is. I think the voter turnout, they have something to say about the outcome, I think. That's one thing I'm looking for. I'm looking to see tomorrow how the process goes, how smoothly or not it goes, because that too may have some bearing on whether people endure the vote. And whether people are, you know, will also reflect, I think, concerns about COVID-19, even though I don't believe that that will have as much bearing on turnout as enthusiasm about the options. I don't, that's my view. I could be dead wrong, but that's my view. And I'm also going to be looking at the number of seats that are won. And, you know, if you know polling, if you know these constituencies, you can tell very early by some of the returns of the certain polling divisions exactly what's going to happen in that constituency before all the tally comes in. If you know the constituency, and many times the workers know the constituency well enough. So we'll be looking to see what, in fact, happens in the way of seat. I know it was close. There's the FNM or the PLP has X number of seats, and then the other party doesn't have as many seats. And you could wish that all you want. That can't be coordinated, and it isn't coordinated among voters. So the only turnout we're going to get is the preferences of people when they go out to vote. Nobody's sitting around going, okay, all right, okay, all 190,000 of us, listen, okay, you all said vote PLP. You all said vote FNM. You all vote for this DNA candidate. You all vote for those coalition candidates. You vote for those PLP candidates. So when we're done, we're now going to have a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It can't happen because you don't coordinate the votes that way. Every individual and maybe some families or maybe some groups go in there and vote. And whatever turnout is, the turnout tends to be because we don't coordinate our voting that way. So no one, you can wish for close, but that's all it is. It's a wish. So we'll see what that turnout is. Now I want to talk to you about a couple of things today before we leave, and hopefully you could join in discussion. But I want you to know that today's show is being sponsored by Mr. Percival E. Roberts, owner of Geneva Brass Seafood in Chippingham and an independent candidate for the Fort Charlotte constituency. Mr. Roberts is asking you to take a stand and vote for real change in Fort Charlotte. Vote Percival E. Roberts, independent, the best candidate for the job. There you go. Okay, so I wanted to take today, the day before election, and talk about something that I typically teach when I do leadership classes, seminars, training. Why would I talk about it today? Because tomorrow's vote for leadership. Whether or not we will retain Dr. Hugh Minnis and his team as the leadership of our country, or we will elect Mr. Philip Brave Davis, or Arinthia Komolafe, or whoever else, Mr. Lincoln Dane, as a group, if that group gets elected, so that's the PLP, the DNA, the FNM, whether we will elect any of them to be the leadership of the country. Because essentially what is going to happen tomorrow is we will cast votes for members of parliament, and that party, according to the Constitution, with the most members elected to the House of Assembly, that party's leader will be called upon by the Governor General to become Prime Minister under four. So we don't elect our governments. We elect the members of Parliament. And according to the Constitution, whichever party has the most members elected, meaning they have the majority in the House of Assembly, the leader of that party is called upon by the Governor General to become Prime Minister. And then, as Prime Minister, he forms the government. The government being the cabinet ministers. So the cabinet that will have executive control of the country. So the direction-setting power of the country is vested in the cabinet of the Bahamas. The direction-setting, that's very important. So when it comes to leadership, it is essentially about direction setting. And that power belongs to the cabinet. And that cabinet gets formed by the prime minister, who himself becomes prime minister, also appointed by the governor general, because he was the leader of the party with the most members elected. If no party wins the majority, then the governor general will exercise his discretion as to who he believes commands the support of the majority in the House of Assembly, and he will call on that individual to become prime minister and form the government. So the direction-setting authority in the country is vested in a cabinet that can only be formed by a prime minister, that can only come from either a party scenario majority winning in the House of Assembly, or a person who is deemed by the Governor General to be in command of the majority support in the House of Assembly. So our individual votes for candidates in a mechanism. So whether we vote for an individual because we say they are independent, or we vote for an individual because we say we like them, or we vote for an individual because we say they're a part of a party, it doesn't matter in the end as to what has to happen to form a government. And it's the government that sets the direction for your country. The government doesn't bring a bill to the House of Assembly, or doesn't approve a bill that emanates from a member of the House of Assembly, nothing happens. That majority support required for anything to happen. So leadership is what is on the ballot tomorrow. Even though the mechanism to get to that leadership is the vote for the candidate. Why do you think these party leaders are so keen on selecting candidates that they believe are winnable, and so keen on promoting their party's brand? Because they know how you become in control of the government is by getting a majority of your members elected in the House of Assembly. If 39 independent candidates go in the House of Assembly and none of them is interested in supporting the other, if none of them are interested in supporting the other, no government can be formed. In the judgment of the prime minister, listen, I'm the GG, there's every man for himself and God for every man, every woman for herself and God for every woman. There can be no government, and you got to go back to the population and do that election again. Or until somebody comes to an agreement, and if everybody stays their own way, and two people agree, well, that's the majority support in the House of Assembly. And if you're trying to pass a bill and none of them agree, will be no bill passed. And if you're trying to form a government and you got to select from all these individual people who sit in with you and so forth and so forth, you see the complexity of that situation right away. Right? So Lyndon in his first victory got it by a coalition with the assistance of Randall Fox and of Mr. Brennan. But that was in a happy situation for him. And you see what he did the next go round. He got an election and got a majority support so he could be comfortably in control of the government. And any prime minister, any leader will tell you they aren't interested in having a coalition arrangement. They are interested in having a cohesive, comfortable majority that allows them to govern in the way they desire to govern. So leadership is on the ballot tomorrow. Electing leadership. And so when I teach leadership seminars, I do a section of the seminar that is entitled, Who Should Be Leader? That's the question. Who should be leader? And I make the point that, we can take a break and then when we come back, I can tell you the point I make. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
There is a better way forward, and it starts by leading with compassion.
PLP leader Philip Brave Davis.
We're going to respect doctors and nurses, partnering with them to fix the health crisis.
Deputy Leader Chester Cooper.
The same way of doing things just won't work anymore.
We'll create new jobs and new industries, building an economy that works for everyone.
Join us
and let's change our country together.
This has been a paid political announcement by the PLP.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails. And that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Have you heard about the COVID vaccine raffle? If you are vaccinated against COVID-19, you can enter to win amazing prizes, like food store gift certificates, hotel stays, beach excursions, and so much more. Even if you are previously vaccinated, you can still enter to win. The COVID vaccine is free, safe, and protects you from severe COVID-19 infections. Don't delay. Get vaccinated today and enter to win. Visit www.vaxbahamas.com to register.
The national elections are upon us. Our choices, our issues, our decisions, our vote. There is one place where you'll hear independent analysis, informed projections, and meaningful insight on Election Day. The Hour News and Nassau Guardian teams will bring all this as our nation votes with live returns from every constituency. Watch Hour TV, cable channel 212, and listen on Guardian Radio and Star 106 Hits on Thursday, September 16th, with coverage starting at 6 p.m. Our vote on the Hour TV and Guardian Networks.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust that you are doing well. If you want to join us today, you can give us a call at 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796. You can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So I was saying that in my seminars, I teach this section called Who Should Lead Us? Because whenever there is a vacancy for leadership or a bid for leadership, the question is always first asked, who should lead us? And I always indicate that that is the wrong first question. The wrong first question. And I say that it's the wrong first question because if you needed leadership of a basketball team, if you needed leadership of a baseball team, if you needed leadership of a manufacturing company, it would matter the circumstances you are in as to who you choose for leadership. Because your circumstances matter, not because somebody was great in one circumstance means that they would be great in another circumstance. As a matter of fact, Sir Winston Churchill was regarded as an awful peacetime leader. His personality seemed to rub people the wrong way. His manner of dealing with issues seemed to be far too combative and conflictive. But in wartime, he proved to be an outstanding leader. George W. Bush, prior to September 11, did not have a very good rating as a leader. But in the September 11 crisis, he seemed to have emerged as a stronger leader. So the situation you are in matters to the kind of leadership you need. And so tomorrow, as we go to elect members of parliament who will, in effect, give rise to the governing administration of the country, the leadership, the direction setting of the country. Let me back up to this again. Leadership is about direction. So you, in trying to evaluate the circumstances of the country, have got to ask yourself, what is its direction? Now, here we have to be careful, because this is not the same question as what is my personal direction versus what is the country's direction. Now, your personal direction can, in fact, mirror the country's direction, but it doesn't have to. Let me give you an example. We could be having a terrible case of murders in the country, 200, 300. But in point of fact, the vast majority of us may never have been personally affected by a murder. But as a country, 300 murders would mean, directionally speaking, in terms of crime, particularly murder, we are not going in a good direction. But personally speaking, we may not be impacted by that, other than in the collective reality of our country. In the reverse, we may have had 10 murders in the country, which, generally speaking, would be a very good situation compared to where we have seen ourselves in the past. But one of those 10 murders may have been your personal family member. So directionally speaking, you feel awful. terrible about that situation. But countrywide, we would be happier about our circumstances, even if we're not happy because we do our murders. Your economy, personal economy, may be fantastic in the country. Your personal economy, you got money in the bank. The unemployment rate may be high, and people may be significantly challenged, businesses. So while your personal economy is great, the country's economy may not be so great, and vice versa. So we are talking about the country's situation. And again, your personal circumstances might reflect that, but does not have to. So we are going now to have to ask ourselves in terms of what is the circumstances confronting the Commonwealth of the Bahamas? What is the direction we are going in relation to our society? So we will look at things like the economy. What direction are we going in? See, and when it comes to direction, you don't need nobody's opinion. So, because we have some measurements that we can apply to tell us what direction we are going in. If growth, and we get that measured by someone other than any person, that's the Department of Statistics, or now the Bahamas National Statistical Institute, they measure the economy's growth. You wouldn't have anything right now, but you know what they have measured over time. They measure the economy's unemployment. You might know what it is today because they haven't done a measurement since COVID hit like that, but you know what it has been in prior to that time. So we have, you know what the fiscal numbers are, because they tell you what the deficit is, what the national debt is, and what the direction is they're going. So you have a set of objective measures to say, as a matter of economic direction, Do I appreciate, am I comfortable with where the country is going? Because the next administration, whether that's the one that is in now or the one, a new one that comes in, is going to have an impact on, or you hope it will have an impact on, the direction of the economy. When it comes to justice in the country, or the administration of justice in the country, are we headed in the right direction? And there are metrics that you can get to determine that, to the extent to which you look at the resolved cases in the country or these kinds of things, you can get some idea about that. When it comes to crime in the country, you can look at the statistics, you can look at the murder rate, the theft, the rapes and attempted these things and all those things that the police capture in their statistics, and you can get a sense of the direction. Are we headed in a direction where things are getting worse or things are getting better, where the numbers are going down or the numbers are going up? And that tells you, it gives you a sense of direction. In public health, we can have lots of statistics that tell us about whether or not we have more beds in the hospital or less beds, whether we have more doctors or less doctors, whether we have more nurses or less nurses, whether we have more public infrastructure investment or we have less, whether we have higher infant mortality rates or less, whether we have more diseases of a communicable nature or less, or whether we have more diseases of a non-communicable disease, nature or less. And with those numbers, we can get direction. Because ultimately, when you elect these people tomorrow, the hope is that having control of the direction of the state, they will be moving the country in a better direction. So, directionally speaking, the question is, what is our circumstances? What are we confronting in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas directionally, as an economy, as a society, as the polity, as the culture, as an education system? as a financial enterprise, as a public service, in terms of national pride, a sense of empowerment, prosperity, involvement, inclusion, democratic values and processes. What is the direction? And when you get a sense of that direction, you ask yourself, if you think it's going in the right direction, then presumably you don't make a change because you say, okay, I like the direction it's going in. Why change it? Don't fix it. Don't break it if it's fixed. Or if it isn't going in the right direction, the next question beyond what are the circumstances we want to ask is, what skills are needed today going forward in the Bahamas to help us achieve a new and better direction, if that is what you think needs to happen? What are the skills we need in leadership today to get us in a better direction now? Before I even venture to answering any of those questions, I ask you, what situation do you think the Bahamas faces today? What are the circumstances? And what skills would you think are necessary to help navigate us in the right direction? That, to me, if you can't answer those questions tomorrow, if you can't answer those questions today, then, you know, the vote tomorrow to me will be less than, I didn't say not at all, but less than adequately rendered. That's my view, right? Because you're casting a vote for directional leadership. And so I'm going to give you a chance to weigh in. Please text me, call me. Some of you are very, very thoughtful. So please text and call and let me know, what are the circumstances we face in this country as we go into election tomorrow? And what are the skills? What are the skills? What kind of skills? What do I mean by skills? Communication is a skill. Decision-making is a skill. Problem-solving is a skill. Interpersonal relations, relational skills are skills. Intrapersonal relational skills are skills. There are all kinds of skills, especially in leadership. Planning is a skill. Organizing is a skill. Right? Strategizing is a skill. What kind of skills are necessary to get us the direction we require? We're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm hearing from you. I hope. And we'll be back after this break. You're listening to D Live.
If you love Burger King's Flame Grilled Cheeseburgers, you're going to love our $2 Cheeseburger Wacky Wednesday. This Wednesday, September 15th only, you can enjoy Burger King's cheeseburgers for only $2 each, including VAT. Yes, you heard it right. Cheeseburgers are just $2, including VAT at BK. Make the right choice this Wednesday and head over to any of Burger King Nassau's 7 locations for $2 cheeseburgers. But it's only this Wednesday and only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
The car?
I ain't marched the car. The lady run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Nassau Rolling Red. Drive-in rally is this Wednesday, September 15th at the Carnival site, QE Sports Center. 6 to 8 p.m. Rolling Red. Live entertainment featuring KB, Christian Massive, Bahamian Trey, Sydney, Novi, Nehemiah Hill, and DJ Time. Remember to stay in your car, on top of your car or truck.
Can't make it?
Then watch us live on any F&M social media site, Guardian Radio, or the rebroadcast over ZNS TV and Radio Network, Our News, and Eyewitness TV, 8 to 10 p.m. All COVID safety protocols will be observed. Let's roll red!
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, where Mr. Percival E. Roberts wants you to know that today's show is being sponsored by him, the owner of Geneva Ras Seafood, Cunningham. And he's the independent candidate for the Fort Charlotte constituency. Mr. Roberts is asking you to take a stand and vote for real change in Fort Charlotte. Vote Percival E. Roberts, independent, the best candidate for the job. So I'm asking you today, folks, to weigh in. To weigh in on this question of what are the circumstances. Oh, today's Wednesday. I'm so sorry. I've been talking about Tuesday all the time. Thank you so much for correcting me. Yeah? Thank you. I appreciate that. Boy, I miss you. Don't want to go tomorrow. Today's Wednesday. Sorry, folks. Sorry about that. So anyways, what are the circumstances you think we are facing? What are the skills that will best navigate us in those circumstances is the question that I am asking. If you want to weigh in, help me today. This text says, good day, Mr. Lang. Kindly let listeners know the difference of persons who are sick with COVID as opposed to those persons in quarantine. Some people are saying that they are not going to vote because persons who have COVID would be voting. Well, I don't feel that those persons who are very sick in hospital would be coming out to vote. What do you have to say? Or maybe you can clarify the above. Thank you. You know, I hadn't really weighed in on this question of the quarantine voters. And I understand the weightiness of the considerations in the matter to the extent that people think that, listen, there should be no reason why quarantine persons should be allowed to vote. And why there are people who feel otherwise, who feel that if you're in quarantine, you should remain in quarantine. I honestly, this is my view. Why was quarantine implemented in the first place? Not because a person was regarded only as having COVID, having tested positively. That's not the only reason why, even though that was a reason. That's the most significant reason to quarantine somebody, that they actually registered positive for COVID. And then the second reason is that having been exposed to such a person, a positively exposed person, you are deemed the next riskiest person. So we wanted to watch to see what would evolve in your circumstances over 14 days. And why did we do it? We did it as a public health measure. What does that mean? We did it as a means of protecting the public from exposure to, one, a person known to be positive with COVID, and two, a person who was exposed to such a person and may be at greater risk of developing COVID to be a risk to the public. That's why we did it. Now, all of a sudden, election comes. You can't bury your dad if you're in quarantine. You can't marry your loved one if you're in quarantine. There are a host of things you can't do if you're in quarantine. You can't go to your job to make that money to pay your bills. But election comes, and you can vote. And now we say, oh, all that has to happen is make sure, put on your mask, social distance, wash your hands, and when you finish doing what you don't go straight on. Well, why can't I go to work and do that? Why can't I go to work and do that in quarantine? I don't have COVID. I just been exposed to COVID. All of a sudden, we dispense with a tool that we told the public. We said your fundamental right to move out will be impeded by invoking emergency powers. But now, the election time comes, and vote is so sacred that I'm going to dispense with the public health measure that protects the very thing that gives us the freedom to actually be able to vote, which is a healthy society. So I'm going to dispense with that so long as you take the measures you could have taken every single day you were in quarantine by masking up, social distancing, and what have you. But I'm going to regard you as responsible enough to go down there and vote, and when you're done, go home. How did the quarantining work out with people staying home in the first place? So I'm sorry. I hear all the sides of the arguments, but I think this measure, without having made any special provisions for persons quarantined to vote so as to maintain the integrity of the quarantine as a health measure, I think that it lacks any real rationality. I'm sorry. That's my point of view on it. It goes against a whole fundamental principle of protecting the public health through quarantine. If those persons had tuberculosis, would you let them out of quarantine if they had tuberculosis? And if you have COVID, if you could have a mask on and social distance and what have you, why you can't vote? If you have COVID and you're not ill, why can't you vote? If you have tuberculosis, because the only way you can get tuberculosis from somebody is if they cough in your face, and they can be covered up with masks and ask them to wear two. What's the difference? To me, the move showed a level of unseriousness about the nature and meaning of quarantine in a public health environment. But, I mean, I'm not going to hate on the people who get to vote. Bless you. Thank the Lord that you get to vote. I wish we treated the vote so sacredly in other circumstances. Like, really now. You commit a crime. Maybe you had just a little bag of weed. First time offender, but you get sentenced to 6 months. Let's say an election is called. You can't vote? Yeah. That was the main part of my time. We have a text here that says, Mr. Lang, my concern is the legitimacy of the election. Will election officials observe and abide by the rules? Will it be fair? An entire election was reportedly stolen in the United States. The former president made this very clear. Can we be any better? Are you serious? Are you serious? So my next concern is about the election promises made and the citizens' ability to exercise our right after the election. I'm in favor of MP recalls, but I haven't heard anything about this. Well, you're going to vote. Why are you? You should. That's the thing you should put to the candidates and the parties. And if they're not prepared to that, vote for the candidate, the party that is prepared to have recalls. As I understand it, is a party that has a promise to set up a recall system. That's my understanding. So you vote for that party or candidate. Okay, so you have choices. So don't be concerned about it. Do something. You're a voter. Do something about it. But in terms of the fairness of our elections, that's why we have observers. And the observers aren't just international observers, you know. Every election agent working for their candidate is an observer. So they get to see whether skullduggery is done or not done, right? And as to the United States of America, I'm sorry, when you invoke that for me, I'm sorry, it kind of knocked me off of the reasonableness line for yourself, because I don't regard that as serious or sensible. An entire election in the United States was stolen. Every court in the United States that they tried to get to subscribe to that notion, cast it down, and you still believe that is so. Anyway, can you do? Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us today. We're going to take our break for news, and when we come back, we will continue our discussions.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Gentlemen, to Z Live, I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Wednesday, day before election afternoon. So glad you could join us today for the show. I know you're all getting ready to go vote tomorrow. Some will go early, some late, some will go in between. Just be careful, be safe. Do your thing. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-30-43. I want to be clear about something. I do not blame quarantine votes for taking up the opportunity to go and vote if they are permitted to do so. I don't blame you. I'm not blaming you at all. I just think that the rationale for it seems flawed to me. And that's just my point of view. It doesn't have to mean anything in the scheme of things, but I was asked about it. This text says, who's that idiot spreading lies about the U.S. presidential elections being stolen? If he is so concerned about election integrity, he should cast his vote for Michael and leave Bahamian politics to rational thinking Bahamians. Don't start that foolish talk about our election system. I don't have any concerns about stealing of elections. If I see evidence of things that might present that kind of problem, I'll definitely raise the issue for sure. And the parliamentary commissioner has to ensure that the lawful procedures are followed, be it in relation to the handle, the way the ballot boxes are handled, the way the ballot boxes are sealed and secured, all those kinds of things. So that's the duty, that's responsibility, okay? But I don't have any heightened concern that the election is going to be stolen. I do not. But if evidence surfaces along lines, and so be it. All right. So I didn't get any comments from any of you regarding the circumstances we're in, the situation we're in, and the skills we require. So, okay, I'm going to talk about it in a little bit. Today's show being sponsored by Mr. Percival E. Roberts, owner of Geneva Brass Seafood. Chippingham. And an independent for the Fort Charlotte constituency, Mr. Roberts, is asking you to take a stand and vote for a real change in Fort Charlotte. Vote Percival E. Roberts, independent, the best candidate for the job. All right, Mr. Roberts is seeking to become the member of parliament for the constituency I was once the member of parliament for. And when it was in Agnes, I think successor once represented that constituency. Afternoon, Chivago. Quite frankly, my main objective in making my choice tomorrow is to prevent the need for a new government to come up to speed in dealing with the pandemic. Wow, okay. Okay, you're going to stay the course because you have a government in power that now has a better command of the situation in terms of knowing what to do. Your new administration, you say, you'll have to come up to speed and be able to then react and respond. Okay? Some might push back against that by saying and noting that by and large, that's why you have bureaucrats and technocrats, because they are what we call the institutional knowledge of government. So that when new administration comes in, it's really the policy decision is there. So what happens is the technocrat, the bureaucrat, having been there all along, because these are not people who go in and out with governments, with politicians. So it's the permanent secretaries and the directors and the DPSs, the FASs and the deputy directors. All of these are typically permanent people. Typically, not always, but typically permanent people. And so they get to say to the new policy director, here is the circumstance. This is where we are. And then they say, well, these are decisions that need to be made. These are the powers you have to make those decisions. Now those people have decisions to make. And that is more a matter of listening and understanding. And since you were already talking about what you can do when you get in office, executing according to your plan. So while I agree that it is possible that some time may be needed to bring up to speed, I don't think in our situation, the way I understand things to work, that it has to necessarily be an impediment. Because take Mr. Ingram, who became prime minister after a government had been in power for 25 years. 25 years. He was then faced with a hurricane that significantly impacted the country. Why was he able to perform and execute? Because he had technocrats and bureaucrats who were able to guide his policy decisions with effectiveness. And so your essential responsibility as an elected official is judgment and decision-making. That's your essential responsibility. Yeah, no technocrat. What do you know about paving road? Well, what do you know about sewage systems? What do you know about power distribution and generation? You don't know them, Madam Banks. What do you know about the details of immigration law? The details of any number of things you don't. That's why you have hired professionals whose expertise is in those areas to give you a brief and advice to make decisions. And the chief advisor, policy advisor to a minister is a permanent secretary. And the chief technical advisor to a minister is a director. And so if there is not institutional knowledge in them,
all right.
All righty. Not so sure what was going on there just now. Welcome back to Z Live. I'm not sure what was going on just now, but the mic was muted. I didn't see that. I'm so sorry. Wonder how long. So what's the situation that we are faced with? Okay, what are the circumstances we are faced with? Well, let's look at it. I mean, let's look at the obvious ones. We have an economy that is wounded, right? It lacks. Now, it is growing now. Let's be sure. It is growing because we turned up the economic activity by allowing more and more people to move about and transactions to take place. But we are not where we were pre-pandemic, so we are therefore not in as even healthier situation as we were pre-pandemic, and even the pre-pandemic situation wasn't as healthy as we needed to be because unemployment was still high. So our economic circumstances is that of low growth, inadequate growth, high unemployment, limited prosperity, and narrow prosperity, and restrained development. That's the situation, the economic situation. What kind of skills might be resident in our leadership, would be necessary in our leadership to help with a situation like that? What kind of skills might a prime minister, cabinet ministers, members of parliament have that would help with an economy that is low or inadequate growth, that is high unemployment, that is high deficit spending, rising national debt, restrained prosperity, narrowed prosperity, and limited development? What kind of skills do you need in a situation like that? What kind of skills? And who in all the offerings have those skills? But let's look at the skill. What kind of skills would you need in an environment like that? Let me read some of the notes. Somebody won't predict the election results tomorrow. So Ms. Lang, my prediction is FNM 24 seats, PLP 15 seats. Coalition will get close to 17,000 votes tomorrow, thus causing the PLP to lose by a margin of 16,000 votes. I could be wrong either way if it's a close race, which I think it will be. The FNM stands a much better chance of winning. Thank you. Okay, okay. That's one point of view. This text says healthcare is also my concern. I'm worried. Vaccines will be mandatory. Okay, so healthcare, the issue of healthcare is a concern. What is the situation in healthcare that you're concerned about? You talked about the vaccine, but what is our situation? What's the direction that our healthcare is headed in that makes us want to go and vote now to get a better direction? Texas, I totally agree with your assessment. Regrettably, the caliber of civil servants today at those levels is not what it once was. I don't know if that is entirely the case. I think that the political environment sometimes restrain people from being their better selves. Sometimes. Some of them may not be up to scratch, that's for true. That's for sure. But I think sometimes too, like for instance, you know, in our circumstances, we hear from politicians a lot, mostly. Now, I will have to admit that you have probably heard less from individual cabinet ministers in this administration than you have typically tended to hear from individual cabinet ministers in previous administrations. And the members of parliament in the House of Assembly this time around on both sides of the political divide have been lower profiled in the course of the term than at any other time I have known in the history of our country. any other time. But generally speaking, our political directors, like the cabinet ministers and those, are up front and center. And you hear from them a lot, you see them a lot. And I think that policy making is more guided by just policy choice, not necessarily born of good technical and bureaucratic advice. And so the bureaucrats and technocrats almost sometimes feel restrained and not having practiced their own advisory craft. And so they take a back seat. Now, in some areas, it's impossible to do that. In public works, it's possible to ignore the director of public works because most ministers don't go in there with that kind of technical knowledge. It would be very difficult in a situation to do that in high technical areas. But immigration, health, in some respects, in foreign affairs and other places, you can just kind of take on policy choices. And, you know, you can hear from from technocrats and bureaucrats, or you cannot hear from them. You could hear from them and ignore them. But, you know, that's also a choice. So I don't know that we have a deficiency of talent altogether as much as we may have a inadequate use of that. So economically, we have this situation that I just described. Health-wise, we certainly have a healthcare system that has shown its capacity in a crisis situation. We probably would argue that prior to COVID, our healthcare system was already challenged and maybe not having as much capacity as it needed to have, even though deny that it has built increased capacity over the decades. That is for sure. Okay, you can't stare at the new building there, structure there by the Princess Margaret Hospital there, all those new and modern infrastructure was added and say no. And you can't look at what was done in the Ram Memorial Hospital and not argue that some capacity developments, you can't look at the clinics in the Family Islands and not argue capacity was increased. But we knew that it was still strained in some areas. Well, the pandemic showed us that there is a need for even more. Now, the question is, what skills will it take to get us the more and better? We have a fiscal situation in which the country, having been devastated by the pandemic in that regard, is highly strained. And rebalancing the fiscal situation so that you reduce the deficit spending and therefore the growth rate of the debt requires a couple of things to happen to create balance. But at the same time, some of the options might mean taxation on a society that can ill afford additional taxation. What skills are required in order to navigate a situation like that is the question. And who out there, FNM, PLP, DNA, COI, Coalition and those, and there are other parties I saw the candidates in this, a number of parties, the Kingdom Party, and the Sally McIntosh's party, and so forth. But who among them have the skills, and what are those skills necessary? This text says, Mr. Lang, people will vote against the DM. It will cause Pintar to lose his seat in Marco City. PLP 33, FNM 6, DNA or COI, Independent, KGM, and the rest of the fringe groups, 0, GB gone gold. Okie dokie. All right. And that observer there is, I know this person, and they tend to be very active in the political arena and quite sensible in many ways about some things about politics too. This text says, well, it's the rising debts and the restrictive protocols within healthcare. This may be trivial, but since there is no empirical evidence to suggest that curfew equates to lesser numbers, I would want the government to do away with the curfew ultimately. Okay. So you have the description that I gave of the economy, the description I gave of the healthcare system, the description I gave of the fiscal situation. That's not the detailed description of either of those things, just the very observable issues. Crime has tended to go, had gone down significantly insofar, especially as murders are concerned, and then started to tick up again, turning the economy up again. But pre-pandemic crime in terms of murder was down. But I don't think that anybody would suggest that our situation in terms of crime is where we want it to be. And so somebody might be seeking a better direction, more progress in a given direction in the area of crime. Well, what skills would it take to do that? What leadership skills would it take? What would be the best things? So that's the crime area. There's education and what our performance is. According to the minister, some progress was made in terms of exam results. But, you know, again, what's the direction? Are you satisfied? And what skills, the kind of direction you would be satisfied with? That's the question. This text says, "Dear Shivago, I understand what you're saying about the quarantining and voting, but it's only limiting them to one event, and they get the chance only once every 5 years. But I understand, my friend, but still, your mother only, your family member who is seriously challenged or ill or maybe even passed away, your child is seriously something, but get married. Sometimes those things only happen. Well, death only has happened one time. Funeralizing them only one time. Right? The point is, there's a reason for the quarantining. It only takes one exposure. It only takes exposure to create another surge. I thought that was the point of the quarantine and why there's a penalty if you break it. This text says maybe they should set up a particular centralized place for quarantiners who are voting. And that's what I was talking about. I'm just saying we always do sometimes as if it's just one way or the other to do it. But you can compromise the situation. We had a whole advance poll for a special group of people. You can set up a special scenario. I don't think that there's that many quarantine persons. Anybody know the number? Is there a doctor or nurse or anybody out there who could tell us an estimate of the number of quarantined persons in the Bahamas with COVID? That'd be useful, because maybe this is a policy tornado in a teacup. This text says, "Mr. Lang, where may I find the results of the polling by Mr. Cresswell, Ferguson, and Co.? Analysis would have been completed yesterday." Yeah, I don't know, but you know, they have a site. Intel has a site, and maybe you can find the results that they have to date on that site. So check Intel Key. I think it's www.intelkey.com. So I reached out to him yesterday, but I suppose they were not quite ready today. And so, unfortunately, we won't have those results for you. Okay, but check their site and see if you could find information there. This text says, "What are the hours for voting tomorrow?" Hours for voting. The polls open at, I don't want to mislead anybody, please. Listen, let's go to the parliamentary registrar's, Grand Revenue Registrar's website and the commissioner's website, and maybe you can get the answers from there. Okay, if somebody else can send it to me, I don't want to mislead anybody because I don't want you to be the, I don't want to be the reason why you ain't get the vote tomorrow. No, sorry, Bob. I think it starts at 8, but I don't want to say so without I don't want to say so without the actual information. And I should have had it, actually. So we'll get it for you before we close for the day. In fact, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussions. You're listening to Z-Live. I'm Shavar Relang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Election season is here, and so is Alpha, Delta, and Gamma variants of the virus that causes COVID-19. Let's continue to stay safe, Bahamas. Get vaccinated. And when you go out to vote, wear a face mask that covers your mouth and nose. Do not gather in groups. Stay 6 feet away from others and greet persons with a wave or nod. Sanitize your hands before, during, and after the voting process. Let's do our part to prevent the spread of the virus that causes COVID-19.
This message has been brought to you by the Ministry of Health and this radio station.
Here's a question. What kind of doctor fights with healthcare workers during a pandemic and fails to provide enough testing or to make it free? What kind of doctor invests millions on sidewalks instead of hospitals, then allows patients to be treated in tents during hurricane season? What kind of doctor calls a snap election during our country's worst COVID surge? The answer is pretty clear. The kind of doctor who can't fix a crisis and shouldn't be given 5 more years.
This has been a paid political announcement by the PLP.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny Moe's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep. Sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of...
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shavar Golang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. The day before election, tomorrow, you wake up, we gonna vote. We gonna vote tomorrow. Okay. Somebody was asking what times the polls open and close. The election tomorrow, the polls will open at 8 a.m. and close 5:45 p.m. according to this Parliamentary Registration Department elections.gov.bs notice. If you want any information, more information, if you need more information, I encourage you to go to elections.gov.bs, that's elections. .gov.bs, or you can call 362-3888, 362-3888, or 601-3001. If you're away, you can call toll-free 142-300-2265. That's 242-300-2265 or 1-242-300-5718. That's 1-242-300-5718. My good cousin helped me with that. You think it should be 6 p.m.? The polls normally close at 6 p.m. That's, you know, but I mean, this, it got the PRD thing on the door. Listen to me, man. Go for 8 until I get there before 6 o'clock. Okay? Don't wait till 6 o'clock. Try get there before 5:45. Please, because sometimes I don't know. You know what is, I'm looking at the PRD site, right? Election.gov BS site. And really, the polling time should stand out the first page, but it doesn't. It doesn't. I searched through it, and it doesn't. It's not right up front and center. It's really that information is not up front and center, right? It does have a number of links to questions like voting locations, so you can get that on the site, general election registration, increased data report. You can get 2021 candidates and constituencies. You can get 2021 general election voting protocols. You can get 2021 total registered voters by polling division. You can get overseas registration and overseas voting and the stuff that are already passed, advanced poll stuff. But you can get lots of information. So you can, for instance, know that in advanced town, you can know by polling division how many people are going to vote. They don't have the total. I mean, how many people are registered to vote? They don't have the totals, but they have the amount for each polling division in the constituency. So as far as I'm aware, it's 8 a.m. To 6 p.m., but get there before 6 p.m., all right? Get there before it. That's as far as I know. Please. This text says, question, why can't we implement a platform to vote electronically? It would certainly aid the quarantine individuals during this time. There's no reason we can't do it. We just haven't done it. We can do it. We just haven't done that. That's just not been a priority or a determination for the country. But it can be done. It's done in Estonia? It's done in Estonia. They don't vote electronically in the United States. They don't vote electronically in Canada. So, you know, it's not widespread. This text says, Mr. Lang, I did many courses with leadership can add probing, collaboration, and communication to your list. Well, communication was one of the ones I mentioned. You got to have communication skills, no question about that. And not only collaboration, cooperation and coordination are also essential leadership skills. All right. Anyways, I think that in the leadership of the country and the circumstances that we are in is going to have to be, have this kind of skills that firstly builds trust. I think trust is so critical to mobilizing the society to believe in itself again and to believe in its government again. Trust is going to be critical. And trust is the skills that build trust are service-related skills, are communication-related skills, are interpersonal related skills. When people believe you have their backs, when people believe that you have their best interests at heart, and they believe that not so much by what you say as by what you demonstrate, then they start to have confidence in the credibility of what you say as compared to what you do. Okay? People used to kind of mention this thing that Ingram said a lot. Ingram said, I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. That's very important to trust. Say what you mean. I mean, you know, you hear people call these shows and complain. They say, you know, we elect these administrations, we elect these bodies, and they tell us they're going to do this, and they don't do it. That destroys trust. If you get elected to do some things, you should nail those things. If you get hired to do a job, you should try and nail those things, or at least have an explanation as to why some of the things were not possible to be done and have a credible explanation for it. But people develop trust where service is rendered to them with integrity. And integrity is a matter of, this is what I promised, and they're going to require levels of skillfulness in the trust business. You don't have to take my word for it, but PLP, FNM, DNA, Coalition, and all the others, in your campaigning, in and out of office, the issue of trust in public life, your word must be your bond. Your bond must be consistent with your word. And the delivery of service in the interest of people is what builds confidence for them. So we have to have skillful leadership in the business of trust building. Don't get in there. I said, let me read a couple of things to y'all before election. If you're not careful and you are in government, this is what happens. You win. Now, y'all get mad with me. The politicians get mad if they want. And their generals could get mad with me. But here's what happens. You win. You know what a politician's first challenge is when they win? Their first challenge is the onslaught of demands to divvy out the spoils. Let me say it again. I work for you. I go and bust my butt for you. Went all around the place campaigning for you. Did so in this pandemic for you. I get you there. You couldn't get there if you, I need a government job. I need a government contract. I need a government house. I need a government this. I need to be taken care of. I need a promotion. They didn't promote me because I was PLP, FNM, so forth and so forth. Onslaught of those demands hits the politician, boom, right away. Because you know what people know? Boy, get them early. Because after a little while, you ain't gonna see them no more. Not like that. That's the first challenge they face. And if they are not careful to stay focused on the reason why they were elected, to serve the people of the country and not their cronies or not their loyalists and not their supporters alone. You hear what I said now, right? Because you can't ignore the people who work for you. You can't do that. That's nonsense. Can't ignore there that they have concerns and they have needs too that you may be able to assist with. Yeah, I'm not even going to be so idealistic as to think that should happen. That's ridiculous. Ridiculous. So when you see a party wins, this one gets a contract that they are, this one gets a job that they are capable of doing in a politically appointable situation, I don't get concerned about them things, man. Life. But if you can't be focused on, you know what, I hear you all, but if we don't go ahead and get this economy rolling for the benefit of all, if we don't go ahead and get this healthcare system fixed for the benefit of all, if we don't go ahead and get this education system moving for the benefit of all, no matter how much of y'all I take care of and as our own little supporters, the country will be ticked off with you come 2-3 years from now, and they'll get you out again. So we gotta build trust. We have to have, in the circumstances of the farmers today, trust is required. Secondly, we have to have a unifier in leadership. Unifier. That means that the prime minister and all his ministers and them at that high level of office service, they have to be unifiers. You can't be splitting. I'm going to say it again. You can't be splitting people against each other or pitting people against each other. It will not serve the Commonwealth of the Bahamas well to do so. You can't even be, you don't be splitting your own people. Oh, that's them Tingham people. That's Tingham people. Mind you, all them is FNM, PLP, DNA, but oh, that's them people and them people. Nonsense. If we are going to get the most force to move us in a direction, we have to get as many people to move in the same direction as possible. That means you need a unifier. You need a unifier. I warn you today on this Wednesday before election. When you go to those polls, you think, which of these leaders, which of these parties, which of these candidates represent best effort at unification as far as I can tell? And let that be a consideration. The circumstances of the Bahamas cannot afford for talent, whether it's FNM, PLP, DNA, or COI, to be put on the side simply because they didn't vote or support you. Because the country's situation is too serious for that. When we come back, we can talk about some other skills that's required. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break. And then when we come back, we will wrap up. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Election season is here, but so is COVID-19. Let's be responsible and stay safe during this time. Large gatherings should be avoided at and around polling stations. By avoiding crowds, you reduce your chances of getting COVID-19. Wearing face masks is especially important during this time because you protect yourself from inhaling respiratory droplets that travels when persons breathe, talk, or shout. When you take your mask off around others for any reason, there's a chance you may breathe in these droplets and become exposed to the virus. Take every precaution to stay safe during this election season, including getting vaccinated.
This message has been brought to you by the Ministry of Health and this radio station.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Nassau Rolling Red Driving Rally is this Wednesday, September 15th at the Carnival Site, QE Sports Center, 6 to 8 p.m. Rolling Red Live Entertainment featuring KB, Christian Massive, Bahamian Trey, Sydney, Novi, Nehemiah Hill, and DJ Tang. Remember to stay in your car, on top of your car, or truck. Can't make it? Then watch us live on any FNM social media site, Guardian Radio, or the rebroadcast over ZNS TV and Radio Network, Our News, and Eyewitness TV, 8 to 10 p.m. All COVID safety protocols will be observed. Let's roll red!
The national elections are upon us. Our choices, our issues, our decisions, our vote. There is one place where you'll hear independent analysis, informed projections, and meaningful insight on Election Day. The Hour News and Nassau Guardian teams will bring all this as our nation votes, with live returns from every constituency. Watch Our TV, cable channel 212, and listen on Guardian Radio and Star 106 Hits on Thursday, September 16th, with coverage starting at 6 p.m. Our vote on the Our TV and Guardian networks.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Come on.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Got about 11 minutes before I sign off. And next time you have me, we'll be voting. All right. Today's show is being sponsored by Mr. Percival E. Roberts, owner of Geneva Brass Seafood, Chippingham, and an independent candidate for the Fort Charlotte constituency. Mr. Roberts is asking you to take a stand and vote for real change in Fort Charlotte. Vote Percival E. Roberts, independent, the best candidate for the job. Okay, so we were talking about skills that are required for the circumstances we find ourselves in. We talked that among those are trust building. We need leadership that can inspire trust. We need leadership that can encourage unification, unity in the nation. We also need leadership because we have so many complex issues, so many difficult circumstances, so many fractured communities, and so many varied beliefs. We have to have effective communication as a skill in our leadership going forward. To have effective communication, that means you have to have the ability to listen with a view to understanding from whence your community and society is coming. You have to have observational, kind of get to understand the realities of the circumstances that confront us. And then you have to be able to convey with a clarity your thoughts, your observations, your decisions about how to best deal with those things, your policy options and policy determinations and your policy executions, your legislative determination. We have to have more opportunities for effective communication of those things in the difficult environment in which we find ourselves. That's going to be necessary in the leadership. We have to have solid communication skills. We have a lot of problems. So is it any wonder that you have to have leadership with good problem-solving skills? Listen to me, man. Getting on the radio and putting down the government or putting down the opposition or growling and sounding cute about this and the next thing, that don't solve problems. That's not how problems are solved. Problems require their methodologies to solving problems. There's no one way of doing it. There are different problem-solving models, frameworks to be used, and you have to find the ones that work best in different circumstances. So all decision making shouldn't be done the same way in every circumstance, because there are some problems that require a level of creativity and innovation, meaning you don't have at hand all the information and facts to be able to make the decision. And so there's a kind of intuition and intuitiveness that has to come into play. There's opportunities where information is more abundant, so you can take a more rational approach. Sometimes you have a lot of information, but not enough, and so now you have to have a modified rational framework in using and making decisions. You have to be a good problem solver and decision maker in this environment we find ourselves. We also need to have leadership that has a core. What do I mean by a core? I mean leadership that has a set of values, a set of principles that guide their thoughts, beliefs, behavior. such that in confronting what is going to inevitably be some ethical dilemmas for themselves, choices that they have to make where they are going to even sometimes have to make their own unhappy, they have to be able to look to their core, to the stability of the convictions that they presented to the people and say, consistent with these convictions, consistent with these beliefs, I am going to move in this direction, and here is why. And I know you may not agree with me, but here is why. Nelson Mandela faced this situation, I've said to you all on this show many a times, where his people wanted to take up arms against the white South Africans who had oppressed them for so many years through apartheid. And Nelson Mandela was not of the view that that was the way to go at that time. And Nelson Mandela took to the National Airways, and these words he said to them, I am your leader. And as your leader, it is my duty to tell you when you are wrong. And I want to tell you, you are wrong. We will not take up the bullet. We will take up the ballot, and that is how we will achieve our victory. And that is what they did. And you can only do that when you have a core. If you are somebody who follows popularity, you will pander. If you are somebody who just follows a crowd, you will pander. But if you are somebody who is able to listen to the crowd and see whether there is, appreciate the sentiments they have, see the rationality in what they're presenting, but look reflectively within and ask yourself on the basis of all that I have, because sometimes you got more information than the crowd. Make a decision that may make your crowd unhappy, but the fruits of your decision will bear out in the end, then you are somebody with a core. But if you could change in the light of day from what you were in the dark of night, if you could change from what you are in the Family Islands to what you are in New Providence, if you could change from what you are amidst your FNMs or PLPs or DNAs and become something different when you are in a different crowd, you don't have a core. You are a chameleon. And chameleons, insofar as trying to lead a people are concerned, don't make for good leaders. You can be adaptable. You can change. You can be flexible, and that too will be needed in these times. So you may have a core and you may have a set of thinking, but in the end, you have been convinced or persuaded by others that, you know what, there is a better way. And you have to be willing to do that. So having a stability of self and sense of self is important, so as to not be to be somebody that's so flaky. But you can be flexible enough to know when better sense is being presented than what you may have put forward. So we're going to need that kind of adaptability too. And then finally, we're going to need leadership that decides by evidence as much as is possible, by information as much as possible. You can't go in your little meeting in a corner and they say, you know, you should do this because I think that can make you politically popular. Boom, all of a sudden you come and present that to the nation. Nonsense. Let them tell you that, but then go to your advisors, go to your people who can know and ask them, what do you think about this and how best can this be done if it can be done? But you can't just wake up one morning because you eat Cheerios and maybe that stimulates you to think this should happen, and then you get up in the air and tell people, yeah, this is what we can do. You can't do that either. You can't wake up one morning and say, $20 million we can spend on this program, really? You didn't go to the parliament for that. You didn't really flesh it out. But all of a sudden, you're spending people money. You can't do that either because you don't have money to waste. And we certainly don't have a lot of room for error in this country. We do not. The Bahamas' base, economic base of prosperity is so narrow that it does not take much to undermine that base. And fundamental mistakes will set us back far too many years than we can afford And we will watch far too many Bahamians sink into poverty and despair than we desire to see. So the decision tomorrow is heavy, weighty. And hopefully, as you make yours, you will be as weighty in your reflections as the decisions to be made for the country. So I wish you well. Wish the country well. I wish all well. Be safe. Responsible. Thoughtful. Go do your voting. Don't talk to nobody and get in no situations. Just go do your business. And go where you have to go. Be on your way and wait for the results. And people are too close to you. You tell them, listen, can you back up, please? Because there's a distance we must keep. Polite. Follow the instructions. If you don't know what the protocols are, they're right on the elections.gov BS website so that you can, we can all do what we have to do as is our duty under our constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lai, your host. God bless you. Have a great evening. Mahasha Black is up next. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
To take a stand, take a stand.